I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now, Public Radio's daily podcast of news and culture. It's estimated that more than 40,000 Iraqis have been wounded in the war in Iraq. Today, we focus on one. 12-year-old Rakan Hassan was seriously wounded when American soldiers mistakenly fired on his family's car in the city of Tal Afar in January of 2005. The story of how he came to the U.S. to recover is the subject of a series this week in the Boston Globe. The final part of the series, called Rakan's War, written by Pulitzer-winning reporter Kevin Cullen, with photographs by Michelle McDonald, appears today. Rakan was basically paralyzed by his wounds. His family thought he'd never walk again if he lived. Dr. Lawrence Ronan of Massachusetts General Hospital brought Rakan Hassan to Boston. You might remember we spoke to Dr. Ronan after those military medical flights because he just happened to be on the plane that brought the ABC journalists Bob Woodruff and Doug Vogt back to the U.S. after they were wounded in Iraq on another flight that Dr. Ronan took. And Dr. Ronan joins us now in the studio with more, though, of the story of Rakan. Welcome.
Thank you.
And tell us about Rakan, 12, 13 years old?
12, 13 years old and filled with life. And he's a tough kid, a friendly kid, huge personality, wonderful spirit about him. Anyone who saw him fell in love with him.
And they did while he was here in Massachusetts. And they did on the other end in Iraq as well. He was wounded. His parents were killed. There were six kids in the car. He was the only one who was wounded. How badly was he hurt?
Initially, they did not realize that Rakan had been seriously shot. He tried to get out of the car but was unable to walk. They thought he had a superficial wound. It was only discovered a little bit later in the day that the wound had actually penetrated the lumbar spinal region, and it was a very significant wound.
Let's talk about the chain of events that brought him to your attention. Mm-hmm. It starts with the photographer who happened to be embedded with the American patrol that mistakenly fired on Rakan's car. Those photos appeared in Newsweek, in the Times of London. An American aid worker in Iraq then started working on his case. She lined up a doctor in San Francisco. But then what happened to her?
She had then, and her translator were both killed in a suicide bomb.
Yeah.
Very much to the family was devastated, and all the people who were rallying behind Rakan were devastated at the time. So it looked like the door was closing and locking on him.
Her name was Marla Ruzica,
mm-hmm.
by the
woman.
Way. Seems to be sainted. But so then what happens to Rakan, given that she was the one who was trying to get him help?
Yeah, Rakan, in some sense, was forgotten. There was a small piece that appeared in, I believe it was Newsweek or one of the journals, and it was picked up by a guy in Massachusetts who was reading it, and cut it out, and apparently was moved by it, wrote a very short note to Senator Kennedy saying he had the power to finish the job, so he should do it.
And what did he do?
He sent it in. Senator Kennedy must get literally thousands of pieces of mail per month, and for whatever reason, his aides felt that this was one that he needed to see. It was put in his hands, and he immediately requested some action be taken.
And was Rakan flown immediately to you, or was
no,
there more red tape?
It was complicated from there, Ron, because we had to figure out a way to get him out and also a way to pay for his care. I don't know the exact details, but I know Senator Kennedy called Ray Tye from the Ray Tye Medical Foundation and asked if he would help out, and Mr. Tye said absolutely.
Mr. Tye, a very wealthy man here in Boston.
A very good man. He and Senator talked about the next steps, and they agreed that I should be involved in that. So Mr. Tye called me, and we worked it out with the Mass General Hospital. And from that point forward, trying to get Rakan out. So we had the money. We had the power, if you want to call it that. But extracting a small boy from the middle of a forward operating base combat zone was almost impossible, almost virtually impossible.
And by the way, how much do people there want to do that? We want to go back to the fact that this was a mistake on the part of the U.S. military.
Terrible mistake.
They must have been devastated.
They were devastated. And people people I've met who've been involved in that say how bad it was on the troops. So.
And you see the pictures that we mentioned that went around the world. They're sort of half holding this little boy with a frightened look on his face.
Yeah, the family. I talked to Rakan and I talked to his uncle, and it was a hugely touching moment. His uncle told me everyone knew immediately it was a mistake. The troops knew it was a mistake. The family knew it was a mistake. It was just one of those horrible disasters, and so people realized it was awful tragedy.
Right. So. And the military, U.S. military, people back here in Massachusetts wanting to make up for it.
Mm-hmm.
Rakan is eventually brought to the U.S. in September of last year.
Mm-hmm. Through the military, through the help of the military, we finally, getting him out he was injured in late January. I was called, I think, in August, so it had taken that much time for this machinery to work. And it took us from July, August to September to get him out. I eventually had to appeal to a good friend of mine who works for Project Hope named Fred Gerber. Fred was a colonel in the airborne, and his job was operations, and he works now with Project Hope doing the same for Iraq. He has military contacts. His last tour of duty was in Iraq. He won the Purple Heart for that. He had gotten seriously injured in it. And Fred knew how to work the military, and he, through his military friends, were able to arrange for this boy's coming out. He was coming out from one of the most dangerous areas in Iraq through just terribly troubled areas. And the military brought him out, and I met him up in Landstuhl, which is where our troops go when they're wounded, and then took him back to Boston from there.
And how much time elapsed between Rakan getting wounded and arriving to you, and how, you know, what did you see when you first saw him? What did you think? You
know, for about 8 months had elapsed, and what I first saw was a child who was crumpled in a bed, twisted up in his legs. And I had examined him. I met him in Landstuhl, as I said, in the hospital, the regional medical center there. And he was in diapers. He was incontinent, stool and in urine. His legs were both spindly. He looked like a bird. He weighed, I think, 45 pounds. He's 12 years old. That's about, I don't know, 15, 25 pounds underweight. Mm-hmm. And he had huge sores all over his butt where he'd been
bed
laying
sores.
Down. Oh,
yeah.
Just terrible. And
deep, you can die from those.
Deep wounds, absolutely. And it meant that he'd been lying in bed, probably lying in his stool and urine for quite some time. So
here you've gone through all of this effort with other people to get him here, and you see him. Did you think, oh, my goodness, can we do this?
Well, we were going to do it. So, I mean, that was the attitude.
And Dr. Ronan, this amazing team of doctors, nurses, physical therapists at Massachusetts General Hospital did incredible work. But Rakan's uncle also came to the U.S. with you and his nephew. He was really a stranger in a strange land, and you basically had to send him back to Iraq because he, in some ways, was holding Rakan back. Is that right?
He came from a very remote area and accompanied this boy into a culture he's never had exposure to. And I think
here you're surrounded by female nurses, and
it's the television, the nurses, the magazines, the freedoms. That's really just not something that they had in Iraq. And one could see his trying to deal with all this. He was also the protector of that boy, and did that job well. But I think the culture overwhelmed him.
Yeah. So the uncle leaves, and now you're just left with this little boy, Rakan, who starts to, in a way that I actually have to tell you, Doctor, in reading this, I kind of enjoyed the way he acted out a little bit.
Well, he didn't act out a little bit. He acted out a lot
okay.
of it. And so what happened was he became, after the uncle left, Rakan actually developed into more of himself because he no longer had the buffer. And lots of wonderful sides of him, and then also lots of 12-year-old sides of him came out. The wonderful sides is he was a person, and he is a person with feelings and desires and hopes and was able to express them. Before, it was always translated through the uncle, and now he had to do it. And we also discovered that in those month or 2 months when the uncle was there and Rakan wasn't speaking, it wasn't that he wasn't listening. He had very good English in 2 months, and so he understood a lot of what we were saying and actually could talk to us in English. But he came through. His willful side, the 12-year-old side, came through. I think, you know, he was a great 12-year-old, a true 12-year-old, loved 12-year-old things.
Sure, he got a roommate, another 12-year-old, and they stayed up all night. As you said, how did they speak to each other?
Talking 12-year-old.
Talking 12-year-old, and then they didn't want to get up in the morning. He didn't want to do the things he was asked to do. And at one point, there was an interesting moment. I mean, here he is, again, in another culture, and in the country that gave birth to the people that mistakenly but still killed his
absolutely.
Parents. And at one point, he looks up at a video game, I think it was, and says, I want to grow up to be a pilot and come back and bomb Boston.
He was with Kevin Cullen at that point, and he mentioned that he wanted to come back as a bomber pilot, and then Kevin said, and bomb Boston. And Kevin said, well, do you want to bomb Allison Tate, who's the wonderful physical therapist who helped him, I mean, and I give her credit for actually making him walk. Mm. And he said, no, he wouldn't want to hurt Allison or Amy Simpson, who was a social worker who was so in love with him. And he said, no, he wouldn't want to hurt Amy. And then the nurse who was taking care of him said no, and Dr. Roney said no. And then he thought about it for a while and said he'd like to come back as a commercial airplane pilot.
Not a bomber.
Not a bomber.
Oh, but how little it might take, you know, to change kids' minds,
Yeah.
Dr. Ronan, you mentioned this wonderful team that helped Rakam walk. Sort of the good news is he was rehabilitated.
Yep.
The bad news is you now have to make a decision about his future. How hard was that?
It was heart-rending. I mean, we didn't want him to go home. I mean, that was clear. I told him that. And by this time, our relationship with him is the uncle's not there, and we have to develop a relationship with him. And we laid it out. We said, you could stay. Okay, you could stay. We'll find a family for you. We'll adopt you. We have a person who will help with the money part of it. And I said, you can stay and you'll be safe. Rakam was very clear from the start that he had a vision in his mind of how this was to go. He was to come, he was to get himself better, and he was to return. That was his story. Mm-hmm. And the story was not he was to live happily ever after in the United States. It was he's to go back to his family, a man. And a man in his eyes was walking upright. So it was almost as if we stole his thunder. Here was a boy who had driven himself to get back and walk and have function, and he was absolutely delighted with himself and proud of himself. And then we said, well, you're going to stay. And it threw him into a horrible depression.
He wanted to go home. And I can hear people saying, well, of course he did. But on the other side of that coin are these nurses and others who said, We how can we send you to a war zone where you might be killed?
Yeah, he was aware. I mean, he obviously was more aware of it than we were aware of it. Mm. We talked with his family back home, and we said, you know, we're uncomfortable with this, but we will, you know, we work for you. We're here for you. And the family said, bring him home.
What was that homecoming like?
It was unbelievable. Rakam threw his crutches up in the air and showed that he could walk. His surprise for his family is he did not want us to reveal to his family that he could walk. Hmm. And that was what he showed them, and that was just a beautiful moment.
Must have been something.
Oh, it was awesome.
But Dr. Ronan, as you well know, Rakam is just one of tens of thousands of Iraqis, children who've been injured in the war. And you've done this before. One of the reasons you were a candidate for this, you went to Banda Aceh after the tsunami. You brought home an even younger boy from that trip. He had a tumor.
Yeah, a liver tumor.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's only one out of so many thousands. Mm. And then you send them back, and there's an ongoing war, and you have no idea if all your work is going to be wiped out, a horrible way to look at, the potential for what might happen to him in the future. What do you say to people who say, all that effort
Most people know. I mean, the life of a little boy or girl is priceless. So you just do it.
This is very emotional for you. Why?
Well, you don't like to see kids caught up in this.
Have you talked to Rakam?
Oh, sure. I got on the cell phone with him, and his English is still good. And I asked him how he was doing, and he's sort of a 12-year-old monosyllabic good. And then I said, is he good to be home? He says, yep. And I said, do you want anything? He says, yep. And I say, what? And he said he wants CD-ROMs. And videos. So I have to send him the CD-ROMs and videos.
That'll go over well with his uncle.
Yeah, it'll go over. So, you know, a 12-year-old is still a 12-year-old. So.
That's Dr. Lawrence Ronan of Massachusetts General Hospital here in Boston. We've been talking about Rakam Hassan, a young Iraqi boy seriously wounded in Iraq who was brought to Boston for treatment and recently brought back home. You miss him, don't you?
No, he was just a charming child. Yeah, beautiful smile.
Dr. Ronan, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Here and Now is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. Tune in weekdays at noon for live, up-to-the-minute news from around the world, and visit our website, here-now.org, for more on today's top stories. I'm Robin Young. Please join us again here and now.